Welcome to A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. I'm Mike Papali, and I'm the president and founder of In a Heartbeat, a nonprofit organization with a mission to prevent death from sudden cardiac arrest. I went into sudden cardiac arrest at age 17 and have been living with heart disease for over a decade. This podcast will dissect the physical and emotional obstacles of living with heart disease and how to overcome them. I am inviting you to join me on my personal journey of living as a heart disease patient. The ultimate goal of this podcast is to help heart disease patients of all ages live a long and normal life. Welcome back to the next episode of A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. A Big Heart is powered by In a Heartbeat. In a Heartbeat is a nonprofit organization with the mission to prevent death from sudden cardiac arrest. This is done by donating AEDs, providing CPR and AED training, raising money for research projects, providing support to patients, and offering free ECGs to children, teens, and young adults. To learn more about In a Heartbeat, please visit www.inaheartbeat.org. All right, everybody, welcome back to another great episode of A Big Heart. Thank you so much to everybody that's been listening, tuning in, sending me feedback, following us on our social media pages. I really, really appreciate it. And just again, the goal of this podcast is to help heart disease patients and sudden cardiac arrest survivors. And we've created a great following so far. If you know anybody that you think this podcast can help, please, please refer them to it. It's something that I truly believe in as a patient, and that is the importance of learning from other people that have gone and are still going through what you're going through as well. And it's a very powerful thing, and I'm so excited to kind of have this community of people that are doing just that. So as always, continue to send your feedback, send me ideas for guests, send me ideas for topics, and we'll definitely cover everything that we can. So this is the seventh episode we've done so far, and the last two episodes, you've heard some great guests. We had Hannah Keim, one of the co-founders of Heart Charged, who is also a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy patient. She was our last episode, and she has an incredibly inspiring story. So if you haven't listened to her interview yet, I would strongly suggest you do that. And then the episode before that, Angela Hartley from Healthy Hearties. Angela is an expert in exercise post heart disease diagnosis or exercise post sudden cardiac arrest. So she is, she's awesome. She's a great resource, and it was a great interview and a great tool to learn from. So if you haven't heard those two interviews yet, I strongly suggest you go back and listen. This week, we're going to take a step back from some of the topics we've been talking about, some of the interviews, and you've heard me talk about in the intro, right before we start the podcast, you've heard me talk about In a Heartbeat. And I'm going to take this episode to just tell you the story behind In a Heartbeat, the passion behind it, what we're doing with In a Heartbeat, and how we're really trying to save lives from sudden cardiac arrest and heart disease. So that's what this episode is going to be about. We're going to probably make it a little shorter than some of our other episodes, so it'll be an easy, quick listen. And then next week, we're going to be back talking about things that can help you, talking about things that can help the sudden cardiac arrest survivors and the heart disease patients all over the world. So In a Heartbeat, you know, when I had my cardiac arrest, I was 17 years old. And, you know, when I was finally home, stable, a little bit recovered, you know, a few weeks into it, you know, I was in my bedroom one night and my mom came in and she told me that she had set up a meeting at the American Heart Association. The American Heart Association obviously is a huge national nonprofit here in the U.S. And randomly we have an American Heart Association office in our hometown. So when we got home from the hospital, my mom called over and immediately the people told her they wanted to meet her and me and hear our story. So like most 17-year-old kids, you know, when my mom told me that she wanted to do that, I, of course, did not want to do it. You know, I wanted to do the opposite. I wanted to just move on with my life. I didn't want to deal with it anymore. I wanted to put the whole, you know, the whole cardiac arrest behind me and just move on and forget about it. And my mom, you know, inspired me that day. And she said, you know, I don't think you realize that the impact that your story can have on other people. And by telling your story and by raising awareness, you know, we can hopefully save some lives. And, you know, the doctors told you that you had a 1 in a million chance to survive, and we could prevent other kids, other teenagers, other adults from having those 1 in a million odds when they go into sudden cardiac arrest. So I was still reluctant, but I agreed to go to the meeting. So the next day, you know, we went to the American Heart Association office. We met with a few people, and they basically said the same thing my mom said. They were amazed by the story, and then they said, hey, we want you to work with us. And, you know, our mission is to save lives from heart disease, so we want you to be a part of that. And we want to use your story. We want to hear you speak. You know, we want to put you on posters. Like, you know, you're a young 17-year-old survivor of sudden cardiac arrest. You're the example of, you know, who this happens to. And, you know, which we still have today, and this was 14 years ago, but we still have the issue in society today that we think heart disease affects the old person or the person that's not healthy or the person that, you know, doesn't eat right or the person that smokes. And of course, heart disease does affect these people, but heart disease obviously does affect youth and young adults and people in their 20s, 30s. Heart disease has no biases. It affects everybody. And me being 17 years old at that time, they thought that I was the perfect person to make people aware of that. So we had a great meeting with them, and I was inspired when I left. I was happy that we did it. And we left, we signed some paperwork that we would become volunteers and spokespeople for the American Heart Association. And over the course of my senior year of high school, that next year, and my freshman year of college, and on and off throughout college, we did all types of things with the American Heart Association. We, one of the things that we're proudest of is we helped lobby for a bill to get passed in the state of Connecticut mandating AEDs to be placed in all schools. And that was not a law prior to my cardiac arrest. And we saw that through, and we sat there when the governor of Connecticut signed the bill into law, which was an amazing feeling for us because we spent, you know, countless hours lobbying at the hospital, telling our story and explaining to people why AEDs are important. And it was amazing. You know, before that point, I wasn't much of a speaker. I got really uncomfortable speaking, as a matter of fact, but I was so passionate about what had happened to me and so grateful for the situation that I was in that it was easy. It was easy to tell people that if there was no AED and I did not get shocked by an AED, I would not be alive today. And that could be your child. Your child could be in a school going to cardiac arrest. There not being an AED in the building, and your child could die from cardiac arrest. And that's what we did. You know, we told our stories. We got emotional, and my mom especially. You know, we made people understand the importance of having AED. So that was one of the greatest things that we did. We also did a couple lobbying days in Washington, D.C. with the American Heart Association, which was awesome. We participated in heart walks. We helped fundraise. You know, we did all this great work. And as time went on, you know, as years went by, we always talked about how, you know, we love the work that we're doing with them, but you know, we have some things that we want to do. We should start our own nonprofit organization. And at the time, I was 18, 19, 20 years old. And I just kind of talked about it. My family talked about it. My friends talked about it. But we never actually did it. So as years went on, I actually got connected with a local organization called Hoops for Heart Health, another Connecticut-based nonprofit that was placing AEDs. And it was started by Ryan Gomes, who was a former NBA basketball player. He's from Connecticut, played college basketball at Providence, where he was an All-American, and then played for multiple different NBA teams, was drafted by the Boston Celtics, and was part of the Kevin Garnett trade from the Timberwolves to the Celtics, so ended up in Minnesota and had a couple other stops. But he started this awesome organization, and he got me involved, and I knew that it was something that I wanted to do more of. I wanted to do, you know, the stuff that Ryan was doing. He was going around placing these AEDs when he would travel with on his NBA road trip. So that was kind of how we slowly started to get involved. You know, we had the American Heart Association. We'd, you know, go to Ryan's dinners and golf tournaments and support them. But like I said, we always talked about, hey, we want to do our own thing. We want to have our impact, and we want to have an impact in the way that we want to have an impact. And it was nothing against any of the other organizations. It was just we wanted to do more. We wanted to do different things. So after I had my open heart surgery, you know, again, when I had it, I was coaching college basketball. And if you don't, if you haven't heard that story, it was episode 3 a few weeks back. So if you want to hear that, you're more than welcome to. But I had emergency open heart surgery when I was 25 years old, and it led to about a 6-week recovery. I'm just sitting on the couch doing nothing and really just contemplating my life, to be completely honest. And I knew during that time that it was time for me to stop talking about starting a nonprofit, and it was time for me to start acting upon it. So I promised myself that as soon as I was fully recovered, that I would do whatever I had to do to start this nonprofit. And I wasn't a business major. I have no clue. I didn't know anything about the nonprofit world. I didn't even know what it took to start one. It started with a simple Google search, and you know, we came up with the name in a heartbeat, and we realized that there was some paperwork, some legal things that were involved. So we did a little startup fundraiser. We created a logo that isn't even our logo anymore, but it was kind of the basis for our logo. And we threw it on a t-shirt, and we sold t-shirts. And we, you know, we had a great response from our local community, which we continue to do. And you know, we raised the money that we needed to kind of just get the nonprofit going, to handle some legal fees, get us a website, you know, design our logo, and really kind of lay the groundwork for everything that we were going to do. So we got recognized as a nonprofit on October 2nd, 2015, seems like a long time ago now. You know, we created a great board of directors of people that have all different skills that help us fulfill our mission, and most importantly, are passionate about saving lives from sudden cardiac arrest. We had our first board meeting at Eli's Restaurant in Hamden, Connecticut here, and you know, we were off and running from there. And when we first started, we had two goals in mind. We wanted to donate automated external defibrillators to schools, businesses, families, and other organizations that needed them. And we also wanted to raise money and donate it to research projects that focused on hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. So when we first started, those were our two programs, our AED donation program and our hypertrophic cardiomyopathy research funding program. Along with, you know, donating AEDs, we were always going to want to provide CPR and AED training and help set up emergency action plans if needed. So, you know, we kind of just were flying by the seat of our pants for a little bit. We had a golf tournament and raised some money, and we used that money to donate a few AEDs. And in our first year, in 2016, we only donated, I think it was like 6 or 7 AEDs. And we donated $6,000 for research, which was pretty cool. And then the next year we improved. We got up to 19 AEDs and $8,000 for research. And we've slowly gone up every year since, which has been great. So we've, as of today, we've donated 152 AEDs and $35,000 for research. And like I said, we've trained thousands of people in CPR and how to use an AED, and raised the awareness of lay rescuers being trained in CPR. So as time went on, we realized that we wanted to do more. We wanted to have a greater impact than just donating AEDs and raising money for research. So the next thing that we did was we started a patient support program, and we have a Facebook group, and we do a lot of individual one-on-one support where, you know, I've been lucky enough to go speak at conferences in front of doctors, and I always give doctors the opportunity to connect their patients to me to do exactly what this podcast is meant to do, and that is to learn from other patients. So, you know, we've done some support, and then our latest project right now is our cardiac screening program, which is something that we're very, very proud of. And it's certainly taken a little bit of a hit with COVID, but we're excited to be up and running again this year. So our cardiac screening program offers free ECGs to children, teens, and young adults. So this is primary prevention. As we know, you know, the odds of surviving sudden cardiac arrest are low. a lot of things have to line up and go really, really well. You know, there has to be an AED there. And the survival rate is still less than 10%. So with our cardiac screening program, our philosophy is, well, let's catch heart disease before someone's in that life or death situation. Let's get youth screened with ECGs to ensure that they don't have heart disease and they're not at risk for sudden cardiac arrest. So basically the way our cardiac screening program is going to work, it's actually going to be a two-sided program. The first side is our community screening events, where we will be going throughout Connecticut and we will be hosting events with cardiologists and electrophysiologists on site. A parent can sign their child up to get a completely free ECG. They show up the day of at their appointment time. They get their ECG, it gets interpreted by a doctor, and they walk out the door with an interpreted ECG. We will also be having the doctors meet with families of any child who has an abnormal ECG so that the doctor can help that family navigate what the next steps are. Because the reality is, they're not going to leave the screening event with a diagnosis. An ECG is not enough to diagnose a child with heart disease. But if we do find an abnormality, we can suggest that the child gets follow-ups like an echocardiogram, a cardiac catheterization, a stress test, a cardiac MRI, or whatever is needed to determine what is causing that abnormality. So that's one side of the program. Then the other side of our program is the university screening model, which is where we will be partnering with universities throughout the state of Connecticut to include the ECG as part of their student athlete pre-participation physical. Because again, we have these college athletes that are competing at, you know, a really high level of sport. And unfortunately, a lot of schools just don't have the resources to provide ECGs to them. So what we're doing is we've created some solutions to the obstacles that these colleges and universities might have. And that's by using our equipment. You know, we have some resources for interpretation and follow-up and training them on how to acquire the ECG. So we've already worked with a couple of schools, and we look forward to working with more schools and, you know, in 2021 here. So just to give you kind of an outlook on that program, we have three community screening events planned. Well, one in April, one in May, and one in June. And we are right now working on scheduling events and locking in universities to do this with their student athletes. So we're really excited about it, and we truly believe that it's primary prevention and it can help, you know, prevent a death from sudden cardiac arrest if we can detect a heart disease prior to it happening. Because as we all know, oftentimes sudden cardiac arrest is the first symptom and sadly the last symptom that many patients have. So that's about our organization. I mean, I'm really proud of it. It's something that we're all really passionate about. It's something that we've seen grow, and we're always trying to figure out how to grow it, how to make it better, how to do more, and ultimately have a greater impact on people. Just to give a quick summary, you know, we have our four main programs: our AED donation program, our hypertrophic cardiomyopathy research funding program, our patient support program, and our cardiac screening program. And as always, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, I strongly suggest that you reach out if there's any program, if there's any way that you think that In a Heartbeat could help you personally, an organization you're affiliated with, a friend, a family member, whatever it is, please reach out to us at any time. I know you've heard it in the intro, but the website is just www.inaheartbeat.org. And if you go to that website, you can see everything that we do. You can get in contact with us. You could reach out if you have any thoughts, any ideas, you know, any people that we can help. So that's information about In a Heartbeat. And I wanted to make sure I took the time to make sure our listeners all know about the work that we're doing, because it's something that for me as a patient, I feel really blessed to do. You know, I've said this before when I speak, and I think a lot of people spend their whole lives trying to figure out what their purpose is. And for me, mine was handed to me when I was 17 years old. And being involved in this community and giving back and doing those things has been so crucial for me in my development and in my life. So I'm really lucky to be able to do that. So again, anyone that we can help, you know a place that needs an AED, have them reach out to us, and we'll definitely help in any way that we can. On the note about AEDs, we have donated a lot in Connecticut, but we have also sent them all over the country. So if you have a place that needs an AED that is not in Connecticut, you can still definitely reach out to us. So that pretty much wraps up the information that I wanted to share in this episode. Again, I wanted it to be quick, and I wanted it to be just some information about In a Heartbeat and the work that we do. Like I said, going forward, just so you all know what to look forward to in the coming weeks, we have some great topics that we want to talk about. We're going to be talking about what it's like to lose a sport or an activity that you love to do. We're going to talk about nutrition. We're going to interview some other inspiring survivors and patients. So we have a lot of great, great content coming. Again, as always, please reach out to us with any thoughts or ideas that you might have. So I truly appreciate you listening, and I can't wait to be back here next week. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. If you like this episode, it would mean so much to me if you could give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Like anything in life, the goal is to improve. Please provide any feedback you have, any topics you want to hear, or any guests that can provide value to our listeners. You can message us on Instagram at A Big Heart Podcast, or send us an email at mike@inaheartbeat.org. To learn more about In a Heartbeat and the programs we provide, please visit www.inaheartbeat.org. That is www.inaheartbeat.org.